All right, Joe, we are back on the podcast where we are training men in spiritual fitness. Are you ready to talk more about focus and being a man of focus?
Yes, partly because I feel like my life is increasingly scattered among family activities and church activities and life activities. And so, yeah, I'm ready for this conversation for my own soul.
Well, good, because you know I'm not scattered. I got everything perfectly figured out, so I got a lot of wisdom to give you this week. I'm not that guy. I don't know what you're talking about. Too many activities, too many things, you know, stealing your focus. No, you've definitely described me. I think all of us, which is why we are doing this, you know, series on the disciplines of a focused mind. And we've been trying to guide guys through 40 days of focus and what does that mean? What does it look like? I think you and I have talked about before. One of the things that I hear most often from guys that are contacting us, asking us for advice or coaching, things like that. A lot of guys are asking for help with life planning. And they just, in general, are coming across, Googling, you know, going through the internet, looking for help for Christian life planning, which I commend. And I think that's, I'm encouraged to see that guys are looking for that, because I think what guys are running into is they are, as Christian men, are wanting to think about their future, wanting to think about how to begin today to plan for a life that looks like the man of God they want to be. They see that gap between the man they want to be, the man they are now. They want to do something to fill in that gap. But the books and things that are out there are getting them close, but are missing the mark in some way. Because there are indeed a lot of life planning books out there. There are a lot of books on focus and things like that out there. But some guys are seeing that there's something that kind of misses the mark there. And that is part of what we want to do in this podcast series, is help guys get closer to seeing, wait a second, don't miss what's here. We don't want guys to aim for focus and get focus, but then lose their purpose or lose their direction completely. So I don't know, is that something that also you've seen with guys that want to do good with life planning, want to have a right aim in life, but maybe just general focus is not getting them there?
I'd issue a pretty stark warning to guys that, you know, focus, you know, it's something the devil would be happy to give you in many instances, because all it will do is make you a better idolater. I mean, if you think of a guy who's fixated on the idol of, you know, success in the workplace, and he buys those life planning books and he gets super strategic, and now he's on the fast track and going 80 miles per hour toward this goal, which is really an idol in his heart. The worst case scenario is that he actually gets really good at what amounts to a kind of paganistic existence, which is all about himself. So when we're talking about focus, we got to put truth and focus together, because if we get focused on the wrong thing, it might be efficient. Our lives might get super efficient, but they might be going in the opposite direction that they're actually meant to go in. And so we want focus, we want clarity, but we want focus in the direction of godliness.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we'd want to challenge in guys. You know, we talk often about virtues and vices and what exactly. And so would you say that focus is a virtue, or is it a vice? Or how do we look at how do we look at focus as men of God?
Yeah, I think it's just, it's a dependent virtue. So it's a secondary virtue. It's a subordinate virtue. It is something that can and should, you know, be part of our heart, but again, it has to be attached to the right objective. And so you got to get, you know, your worship right, and then you get focused on building a lifestyle that reflects that worship, and you're on a great track. Miss that worship, and it's all for nothing.
All right, so let's continue to get guys towards the right kind of focus. And we've been talking for the past few weeks about the disciplines of a focused mind, talking about memorization and understanding, adhesion. Last week, we talked about prayer. So this week, the discipline of the focused mind we're talking about is perspective. Perspective. Right. So Joe, give me your perspective on perspective. What is exactly perspective, and why do we need to talk about it?
You know, this is going to be one guy's going to have to think about. So I'm going to give a couple of quotes. And I think when we think about these quotes, we're going to get closer to understanding what we mean by perspective. One, guys have maybe heard this at some point, by C.S. Lewis, who he once said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." So there's this, you know, this truth that actually kind of illumines existence, And so now all of a sudden, all kinds of things take on a total different appearance than they did beforehand. And so with perspective, we're not just talking about knowing certain doctrines. Often, there's a doctrine that feels detached from life and existence, and you can believe in it in theory, but it doesn't really transform how you view the world around you. We're talking about truth kind of getting to the spot to where all of a sudden it's like a set of glasses you're looking through, and everything starts to look different. Family looks different, and work looks different, and you look different, and God looks different. And it's like you can just step out into a fresh world because of what you see. So that would be one quote. A second quote, this one guys will not have heard, but I think it captures how challenging but significant perspective is. There's a guy from the 1800s, John Ruskin, who said, "The greatest thing a human soul ever does in this world is to see something and to tell what it saw in a plain way. Hundreds of people can talk for one that can think. Thousands can think for one who can see." So what he's saying is we can all talk about nonsense. Some people can actually think, but there's very few people that get to the place where it's like they've got a perspective, they've got a point of view, they look out at the world and it makes sense, and they're actually able to speak from that position. And this is where guys reach a point of being a wise man. Eventually, late in life, you might be a sage, where you actually have this, distinctive perspective, saturated with truth. And now you're able to live according to that, but you're also actually able to speak to others and pull them in this direction. And so with perspective, we're talking about beginning to see the world afresh in the light of truth in such a way that we're able to live differently and lead people differently. And so I think that hopefully that'll help guys think a little bit about what we mean by perspective.
Yeah, I love when you pull out quotes from the 1800s. It's always super helpful.
Because those are the contemporary fresh ones, right, Evan?
Right.
They're not the old ones.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so honestly, the vision you've just pitched of perspective, and now we're going to guide go guys towards hey, you need perspective if you want a focused mind. There's a lot of challenges that I see just right here on the surface of what you're telling guys that they need. First of all, I would say that the idea of gaining perspective and going for it, honestly, Joe, it's a distraction from my daily task list. Like, we're talking about fighting distraction and getting focused. Well, man, aiming for perspective, that's a distraction from the task. It doesn't fit. I love task lists, right? I love operating off of getting perspective is not going to fit on that daily task list. And so that's, I mean, for me, going to be a big challenge. But also, just alongside that, this sounds hard. Can I be honest? Like, this idea that I didn't even fully understand one of those quotes that you just said. Okay, so the idea of even getting perspective, this sounds like much harder work than just something I can do on my lunch break, right? So I don't know what are the challenges that guys are going to face as they go out and try to gain this thing you call perspective?
Well, the main challenge is we already have perspective. The problem is we've got the wrong perspective. So you can't not see the world through some sort of lens. And I think I've been reading through Joshua recently, and you start thinking about the challenge of the Israelites as they're the promised land, and realizing they spent hundreds of years in Egypt, kind of breathing in those cultural airs. They arrive into a territory, they don't really wipe out all the peoples, and so they're surrounded with all of these other practices and rituals and beliefs and idols and all the rest of it. And you just realize how difficult it would be for them to really see the world, see themselves in the way that God wants them to view it. And so, the first challenge is just we're already being educated in what is a counter vision of the world. And so, the challenge is going to be, as Paul says, and we often refer to these verses, but the start of Romans 12 is to not let our mind be squeezed into that shape. But as he says, it's got to be renewed. It's actually got to be refurbished. And that's what we're talking about, a kind of refurbishment of the light in which we see the things around us.
So is this are you talking about there's a bit of a danger in borrowed perspective? Like we all kind of have a perspective, I guess is what you're saying, and we're usually borrowing it from the culture that's around us or from the people that's around it, as opposed to digging for a true perspective from the Word of God. Is that a bit of what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you watch a movie, and it's giving you a certain interpretation, right? You're seeing things through a certain filter. So as modern guys just imbibing tons and tons of information and perspective through podcasts and songs and the places and the people we're interacting with, if we're going to be distinctive in the way the Bible tells us to, we're going to have to somehow unschool and reschool ourselves. And that reschooling, there's going to be some abstinence, saying no to some stuff, but there's also going to be a whole lot of, effort that's needed in terms of that work of reconstructing the mind, really.
Okay, so can you help guys get there? And by guys, I mean me. Help me get towards this path of perspective. Where do we begin so that we can attain what I think what you're pitching here is a rarity, being a man who actually has a perspective that's informed by the truth of the Word of God and not borrowed from the people or the culture that's around him, a man who actually not just can talk but can actually see. Okay, so I want to be that guy. Get me on that path.
I'll give guys three words, and I think this kind of will give them a process, and it can be applied in a lot of different ways. But it'd be deconstruction, illumination, reconstruction. What we need to do is first just start to deconstruct, and the best way to do that is to ask questions. So let's take something like family, or something like marriage, or something like sex. Something that we've never really thought about, and yet we've got a lot of different opinions and convictions about these things. If we just kind of continue on the path that we're currently walking down in terms of what we think a family should look like or what we think sex should be like, then more than likely we're just playing to the script of the world. And so the first step is to deconstruct, and that happens as soon as you start asking questions. If you ask, for example, what kind of sex glorifies and honors God's design? I mean, how many guys have really thought about that? Or what is the blueprint of family that we actually discover from the Bible or whatever? I mean, to begin to question and to think on these topics, and it could be work. What is work? What is the purpose of work? Is it just to climb a career? Is it to make as much money as I can? Why should I work? The more you start asking those simple questions, what you'll find is you start, pulling off. It's like a deconstruction where you're just ripping into walls, tearing down, different boards and taking things apart. And that's going to expose assumptions. And so that's step one, is just doing that deconstructive work of asking questions.
That's good. So, and I know, it's interesting you use that word deconstruction. That's definitely a popular word used. I don't know how it is over on that side of the pond, but over here, deconstruction seems to be a popular topic for a lot of nominal Christians, I guess I'd say. But yeah, that idea of asking questions, and man, your question, I'm a guy who loves questions, Joe. I love a good question. Your questions are big, though. These are not lunch break questions. These are not like the kind of questions you're gonna be able to answer over a single meal, but bigger questions, what is happiness? What is marriage? What is family? These are lifelong pursuits, it sounds like. But it's, yeah, worth starting there. What is these things? Okay, so that's my first step. Ask good questions about life to begin to gain perspective. Take me further now. I'm asking good questions. Now, what do I do?
Yeah, this is the second step, illumination. This is where you actually need to see it in the light of something. So as soon as you start ripping into these walls of your thought and uncovering, taking up the baseboards and looking at your assumptions, the goal, yeah, deconstruction can go all kinds of ways wrong. I mean, but the goal is to actually set it in a light so you can see it truthfully. And so this is where you got to go get good information. And this is where you really need to be careful, because we tend to be passive and careless with information. And so, we just listen to whatever podcast we like, not really judging whether that voice is something that is giving us good insight. So, let's take one of those topics. I mean, maybe it's family, and you not really thought about it. You're just doing what your dad did and what your mom did or what people around you do. And so, just you get a good book, you read a book, you get some light. Or you go and you actually do some old school Bible study, and you'll look up some verses that have to do with fatherhood, and reread old books like Genesis and think, well, what is this saying about family? How might this be different from, how's Abraham's family different from what the families around him might be? But you go and you've got to find light, because it's not going to come from within. You can't go on the hilltop, meditate, and all of a sudden have this ecstatic vision of what your career is meant to look like. You've got to go and find the information, the truth that's going to give you that perspective, so you can move beyond just deconstructing.
That's good. I think there's a slight change in even how I think about this and hearing you talk, because I look at perspective as something I need to gain. Like, I need to gain perspective. But what you're saying is, I need to change my perspective in light of the truth, that ultimately we all have a perspective. But that perhaps it needs to be deconstructed some, and then put in the light of the truth to begin to actually be the man of focus that we're trying to get men to be, that actually end life with purpose and meaning, and aimed towards godliness. So I like this. Okay, so we're asking big questions, we're digging for truth, and so take us to the next step.
Yeah, reconstruction. And let me try to be clear with that image, because I want a guy to imagine that he's got an old shack. He's got an old shed in his backyard or back garden, and he takes it apart, and it's all rotten, carries it off. And so he then goes by some lumber, some random boards, and just throws it on the ground and says, "I'm done." That's what we do. So for example, maybe we say the world's model of family is not good, but we then just we glean just some random principles about family. So, oh, I should, date my wife. Oh, I should, be present at my kid's sports game. So we have these scattered bits of insight or wisdom, but we don't take them and actually reconstruct something that has integrity and that's holistic, that holds together, that is something. And so what we want to do is, we're tearing down a shed, we want to rebuild a good one. And so we actually slowly, with perspective, it's about taking all of the little bits of insight and knowledge and allowing it to begin to fuse into something that gives me a picture, that gives me a whole concept. Oh, this is a family, according to the blueprint of God. And this is what it means for my marriage and for my kids. And so now, again, I'm connecting, the joints, I'm connecting the pieces. And the end result is that I'm able to really not just make some life kind of tweaks, not just have a few kind of hacks to help me in limited spheres, but my life is taking shape according to a vision. That's the idea. And so that's where this kind of perspective, ultimately, as we've now got the truth, we begin to put it together. And it takes time, and it's going to evolve, and it's going to continue to change. But slowly, you're getting this point of view where you're able to look at something as big as your own sexuality, your masculinity as a man, and say, okay, I've got a picture of what that means. And now I'm able to go, and I'm able to be that in God's world.
That's good. So, to make sure I understood you correctly here, your three steps, your path to perspective, would to encourage guys to ask questions, big questions about the basics of life. Then to do some truth digging, by listening and reading, okay, dig for the truth, and then place all of life under the truth. Is that kind of that third step? You're digging for the truth, then placing all of your life underneath that truth and reconstructing from there. And that's the vision you have there. I don't know. Play that out in the life of a man. Give me the vision of a man with perspective then. If that's our aim, is to build men of perspective, give me a vision of that kind of
Okay, well, let's say what you shouldn't do and what you should do. Okay,
man.
let's
Okay.
start with what you shouldn't do. Let's go back to the guy who gets like his life planning book,
Yeah.
and he reads it and he thinks, okay, well, my ultimate goal is, I want fulfillment. And he kind of analyzes, well, there are these different spheres of life. One of them is family. Okay, well, I need to take care of my family, so that means I should go out on a date with my wife every once in a while. I need to make sure that my kids are in a good school. And he moves on, but there's no guiding vision that's, say, taking that notion of family and filling it out as God would have him pursue it. Okay, so family is just a small thing, and he really has no wisdom in order to be able to live that out in a way that's God honoring. That's the wrong way.
Okay.
The right way, okay, this guy, same thing. He's wanting to sort of figure out his life. He realizes there's this whole sphere of family. But he realizes if he's going to be able to honor God, he's got to do a lot more work to get to a place where he can really be a dad, be a husband, build a family that's going to be light and salt in this world. And so, he's going to have to spend a good bit of extra time. He's going to have to begin to think about, well, what are the things I've never thought about in relation to my marriage and my family? I've never really thought about, the way a husband and a wife should interact. I've not really thought about the things that God would have me pass on to my kids and the responsibility I may have, to raise them in the things of God. So he begins to realize, there's whole areas of that domain of life he's not thought about. And so now he's got more work to do. And so now he's, beginning to, maybe there's a conference going on and he goes and he takes a weekend and, takes his family and goes to a conference and, buys a book at the conference and reads the book and, reorganizes his quiet time and, now and again is doing some different Bible studies on passages that are relevant. And so slowly through this process, he's beginning to get some wisdom. And so, that question's still on the back of his mind, but as he begins to revisit it, he begins to kind of see a shape almost begin to emerge, that there's this kind of image that he begins to have of what a Christ-like marriage would consist of and what it would look like to be that kind of father that he's read about in Deuteronomy and in Proverbs. And so now that he's beginning to have this kind of better vision, now he's able to be in that same spot that he was at a long time ago, that other guy was at. Okay, what does it look like, to serve the Lord in this sphere of my life and my family? And finally, he's able to look at his life and think, okay, well, this is some of the strategic things I've really got to do in order to build this family that I think I'm convinced is what God has for me. And so, you're asking the same questions, but now this guy's done this huge journey where he's able to really come at it with perspective and wisdom, and through that, slowly construct something that's going to be so much more than the guy who just goes and gets the book on life planning and just, thinks that with a few little tweaks, somehow he can be a, a better husband and dad.
That's good. Man, I want to be friends with that second guy. Can you introduce me to him? He sounds great. I like him. He's inspiring. That's good. And yeah, look, that's the kind of men we want to create and we want to be. We don't, guys, we don't want you to listen to this podcast series, do this Focus 40 challenge with us and gain focus but lose direction. Gain focus but lose purpose in your life. That's, I think, the problem we see with a lot of the books and studies and things that are out there on focus is that at the end of the day, you may indeed gain more focus, but head in the wrong direction. Yeah, you get focus on your work and not on your sense of calling. And so yeah, there's a bigger picture that is to be fulfilled in this. And I think it's worth stopping and telling guys, hey, step back. Take a look at the big picture. Don't be like me and be so obsessed with the task list that you just are like, how do I get focus? Well, I just got to get do this, this, and this today, and then I become a man of focus. Not in the sense that we're trying to aim you, though. That's not what we're trying to produce here. So before I close this out, anything else you want to tell guys on perspective, in the sense of gaining focus?
I would just tell them the episodes that have led into this one in this series, it's cumulative. So actually, if you want to know what do I do, as you're really looking at the scriptures, that first one, memorization, really paying attention, as you're seeking understanding, as you're allowing truth to really adhere, as you're positioning yourself in prayer, that's actually the process by which you end up with perspective. And so if this sounds too vague, go back and you'll find that's actually some very concrete things that you can be doing that if you do them, you won't even realize what's going on. But what will happen is you're actually going to have a much better view of yourself and the world.
That's good. Yeah. And when join us next week, because we do have one more of these disciplines of a focused mind that we want to talk about before we leave you guys. So y'all join us again next week.